Good morning, Midland First. I am Pastor Bethany Maciejewski. I serve as the Associate Pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church, and it is such a gift to be with you this morning and to get to worship our God together. We have a few announcements for you this morning. The first announcement that we have for you is about the roll bake. We will be having a roll bake next weekend, and tomorrow is the last day to get your orders in, and so I invite you to look in your pews. You should have some order cards there. If you want to fill those out and put those in the offering plate, you are welcome to, or you are welcome to call the office tomorrow as well. And then our Lenten study officially begins this week. We will be studying the book Get Your Life Back by John Eldridge, and we have copies for you to pick up at the office area if you have not already. And I would like to let you know that there will be childcare, and so if parents would like to join that study, they are welcome to. Pastor Jeremy will be leading a class on Wednesday evening at 6:30, and then I will be leading a class on Wednesday morning at 9:30 in the parlor. Pastor Jeremy will be leading in the hub. And then I believe we have one more announcement. Pastor Jeremy has an announcement about the town hall.
Thank you. I want to direct your attention to the back of the bulletin this morning, where you'll find an announcement regarding our town halls. So what are town halls? They are times to gather as a church, time to listen to one another and to share and communicate information as a congregation. You're asking me, who's invited? You're all invited. So turn to your neighbor to the right and say, you're invited. All right, turn to the person on your left with a little bit more enthusiasm and say, you're invited. All right, if you're on the live stream, type in the comment field, you're invited. There, now nobody has an excuse to say that they weren't invited. When is this taking place? It's taking place this coming Sunday, March 1st, after worship, 11:15 to 12:15. We'll be sharing about the church's budget for this year. We'll be introducing the commitment to the cross, which is a statement of our congregation regarding our shared beliefs and mutual understandings. And also we'll be sharing about measures that we've introduced into the church regarding the church's security needs. All the details are in the back of your bulletin, also in your e-blast, where there's also a link if you want to join virtually. Those are important times. These are important times to gather together as a church, to listen to one another, and to really walk alongside one another in the church's mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. So truly invite you to that time after worship this coming Sunday.
Please remain standing for the call to worship.
Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are my hiding place for me. You preserve me from my trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. As you are able, I invite you to remain standing for our opening hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. You'll find this on page 365 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Grace have the children come forward, please? Hi, how you doing, Nora? Good to see you today. Oh my goodness. Oh, those are for, I know. You can put those on in just a minute. Hi guys, how's it going? Oh, I know. Do you really want to? So today we're going to talk about, oh, you're going to hold them for me. Well, that's awful kind of you. Well, so today we're going to talk about something, a big, huge tree that had forbidden fruit on it. It is in the first Bible of the, and where do, it huh?
Genesis
is in the Bible, the first one, right, in the Bible? What is it in the Bible, though? We call them, what do we call them? Books?
Yeah,
books. So what do we think was in the forbidden, tree? Does anybody have any idea? I don't know, some type, right? It's kind of a mystery, isn't it? So we're going to study more about that. We're going to study Adam and Eve, right? Anyway, ready to pray? Let's put them back. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, it's sad that the first humans you made ended up sinning, but we're glad that you forgave Adam and Eve and that you continue to take care of them. Please bless, take care of us today as we learn more about you and your forgiveness. Amen. Study school? Okay.
Amen. So what was the chancel choir inviting us to do? To order our steps in what? In God's word. Friends, that's what this Lenten season is all about. To order our steps in God's word and in God's way. And indeed, as the choir proclaimed, the world is changing. The circumstances in our lives change. The events in our world move fast, and we hear all about them. And it's so easy to tune our lives into so many other things than God's word. I hope as we step into the Lenten season, we are tuning our hearts to what God is doing among us and through us, in our lives, in our church. The Lenten study is all about this, ordering our word, ordering our steps in God's word and God's ways. And so again, encourage you, if you haven't yet picked up the book, to engage in the Lenten study. You'll hear about it in our sermons. You can be a part of it in the small groups, or you can simply include it into your Lenten season. Simply encourage us, invite us to order our steps in God's word. And part of that ordering our steps in God's word is living our life in the rhythms of God's grace. And part of that is giving ourselves in worship, and part of that is giving back to God. And so we're going to share in a time of giving our tithes and offerings. If you're a guest worshiping with us for one of the first times, simply invite you to sit back and to continue in your worship as you give God thanks for the blessings in your lives. For our members and friends of the church, we thank you for continuing to support financially and through your prayers and your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for continuing to contribute to the mission of the church. At this time, I invite our ushers to come forward that we might give back to God. Thank you. Indeed, O God, we pray that you would order our steps in this Lent, for we know that in you is found great goodness. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless the giving of these gifts, these tithes, and all that we offer you in the week to come, that others might know of the unforced rhythms of your grace and know of your goodness. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. This morning I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin were not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through the one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience there will be made righteousness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. This past Wednesday marked the beginning of the season of Lent on the church calendar, the beginning of the 40-day period of preparation for Easter as we anticipate celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the West, we call it Ash Wednesday because it is a day and a space of time when we remember that we were created from dust, and to dust we shall return, and place ashes on our foreheads as an outward sign and reminder. This year, during this season of Lent, as a congregation, we are studying the book, Get Your Life Back, by John Eldridge, and perhaps you are wondering why our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Fair question. In launching our book study for these 6 weeks, I want to help us to orient our hearts and ground them in the larger picture as well as what's right in front of us. Through his book, Eldridge gives us practical tools that help us intentionally pause and slow down, quiet our hearts and minds in order to see and to hear God in a world that would like nothing more than to distract us from getting to know and allowing ourselves to love and to be loved by the one who loves us the most. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19 helps us to understand the purpose of Christ's redemptive work on the cross on a large scale at a 10,000-foot level. Paul contrasts Jesus to Adam, the first man created, and makes a distinction between Adam's sin and the grace of God and the redemption that has been given through Jesus Christ. Paul calls Jesus the second Adam. As we go through Lent, and as we go through our book study, it is important to have a framework beyond the here and now, and beyond the limits of our understanding, in order to recognize at the deepest level what God is calling us to and providing an opportunity for through the book Get Your Life Back by John Eldridge. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following the one trespass brought condemnation. But the gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, so that just as sin reigned in death, so grace might also reign through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 and 21. It is the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ, that allows us to take steps forward, that allows us to live as God intended, not from a place of legalism, but so that we truly experience the life, the peace, and the joy that God is, that God is, and that we are called to as his children. You see, getting our lives back isn't just about the here and now. It's also about eternity. It has an eternal consequence. Because we are not just our bodies. We have a soul that will live on after our bodies have been buried in the ground. This great reversal, so to speak, that's my term, with God coming in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, to redeem the world and to free it from sin that was brought into the world when Adam sinned, the grace that was given is the foundation from which we are able to lean in to the unforced rhythms of grace that Jesus calls us to in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. In the translation of Eugene Peterson. In the first two chapters of his book, John Eldridge encourages us and invites us into two different practices that are similar but different. They are the 1 minute pause and benevolent detachment. At the core, each of these is an act of surrender to God, a surrender of the things that most captivate our attention on any given day or period of time. This book truly is such a beautiful study for the season of Lent, because Lent is all about making space for God, carving out time for us to spend with him, growing in relationship, examining where it is that God is inviting us closer to him by laying practices down and sometimes picking up new ones. Allowing him into the places of our poverty and lack, places of pain and places of emptiness, so that he can fill us with himself, which is what Eldridge is getting at in his writing. The 1 minute pause is literally 60 seconds to be still and let everything go, to release and let go of what has been in your day and what will be. Eldridge says that he prays, "Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you." He keeps repeating it until he feels like he's actually releasing and detaching. It's not about letting everything go forever, rather about creating a little soul space, not trying to fix everything or figure everything out, not even trying to release everything perfectly, but simply a small way to be intentional about settling down. Settling down for just a moment, allowing ourselves to let go of the things of the world so that we can be filled with more of God. In this moment, in this 60 seconds, we can ask for more of God and to say, "Jesus, I need more of you. Fill me with more of you. God, restore our union. Fill me with your life." How beautiful. How beautiful that we can ask for that. And that God wants to freely give more of himself to us. Benevolent detachment is similar. And the 1 minute pause is a great way to enter into that practice. The 1 minute pause is an external practice. And benevolent detachment is an internal letting go, more of an internal practice. And if you have a smartphone, there is an app called the Pause app, in which there is some guided meditation. You can do it for 60 seconds, or you can do it for a little longer. And so I invite you to look into that if that's something you're interested in. We are called by Jesus to live freely and lightly. To live freely and lightly in Jesus. To lean into the grace of redemption through the second Adam. This is what God came in the flesh for. When he took our sin on the cross, including original sin, the sin of Adam. This is what the grace that was given through the redemption of Christ is for. So that we can live under the yoke that is easy and the burden is light. Jesus calls us to that in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For I am gentle and humble in heart." When we do this, this is ultimately a call, this grace is ultimately a call that will lead to deeper and deeper relationship with God. And that's what everything on every level is about, coming into deeper union with God and his life for us. We can let go of the things that we're holding on to because God is in control. As the scripture that Pastor Jeremy read for us this morning, "If death reigned through the one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So that just as sin reigned in death, so grace might also reign through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We can let go because of his great love for us. We can surrender our lives to Christ because we have received an abundance of grace, not just for the here and now, but a grace that affects our eternity. It's both, both here and now and for eternity. If what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 is true, and it is, that's the 30-foot level viewpoint. Romans chapter 5, 12 through 19 is the 10,000-foot viewpoint. Both of them are important because we were created in the image of God, not the other way around. God is the one who writes our story, and he calls us to be a part of his life. Jesus' death on a cross and resurrection doesn't just affect our lives here and now, but it affects all of creation, all of creation. And the same with the resurrection. We see this even more prominently and poignantly further in Romans chapter 8, where Paul contrasts life in the spirit versus life in the flesh. Romans chapter 8 tells us that even creation suffers from the fall. And so when we look at Eldridge's book and the practical ways of thinking about getting our life back, what we're really doing is allowing the source of our life to truly be our life. God is the source of our life. And he wants for us to live our lives in him. He wants for us to have the freedom that he calls us into. And when we do that, we are allowing him in whom we move and live and have our very being to be the Lord of us. He is the Lord of all creation and the one who gives order and peace to everything. And he wants his grace to reign in our lives by giving it to us through our surrender. When we talk about benevolent detachment, that's part of it too. It's getting specific about what we're handing over to Jesus. What are the things that we need to let go of? As we go into this week, I believe it's God's invitation for us to see the work that Christ has done and that he is doing, and to look at them side by side and to practice the 1 minute pause, giving intentional space for him to speak and for us to listen, for us to receive the grace that he wants to give, both tangibly and otherwise. He is always ever wanting to give us this grace, but we have the choice to receive it. He wants us to be attached to him, not to the things of this world, and not even to the gifts that he gives us that are good and so beautiful. Every good gift, every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. But he wants us to be attached to him and to him alone, because he is the source of our life and of the gifts that he gives us. Can we name the things that are hard and the things that are not hard before the Lord? Can we name the things that we need to let go of? Can we name them specifically? Can we allow him to take care of the things that we love, the people we love? And can we allow him to take care of the things that are difficult for us, so that we can be in greater union with him through the places that he wants to come in, the places that he wants to fill us with himself? That's our invitation, to let God in so that he can care for the things that we care about. because he cares so much about us. He knows what we need before we need it. And he knows the things that we love on the deepest level. Can we let ourselves be loved in this way? To be loved and seen and known to the fullest extent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I just invite you to open yourself to whatever God wants to do in your heart this season. And I invite you into these practices of the 1 minute pause and benevolent attachment. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in prayer. God of grace and God of glory, thank you for the gift that it is to be close to you, that you desire closeness and deeper relationship with us, and that we were created in your image. Thank you for the grace of the incarnation, that you came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who Paul calls the second Adam, and John the Baptist called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you that because Jesus is both God and man, both fully, we were set free to do your will and to walk in your ways. In this season of Lent, thank you that you call us to pause, to slow down, to examine our hearts with you, and to invite you in, and to listen for you and where you are calling us deeper. Thank you that you call us to repentance and to be the one who roots out whatever keeps us far from you. Thank you for John Eldridge's book that gives us these practical ways to encounter you by quieting ourselves to listen for your still small voice. May this be a time of preparing our hearts and minds to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, and may it bear much good fruit in us and for those around us. Help us to recognize the places of our lives where you want to fill us with more of yourself and transform who we are to be more and more like you. Thank you for who you are, God. Thank you that you are good and that you love us, and for the privilege it is to be Christ's ambassadors. We pray for our witness today. We pray for those who cannot worship you freely, and for those who need your grace in extra measure. Bless them and give them strength and courage to follow you even when it's hard. Thank you that you are so close to us and that you never leave us. Thank you for the privilege that it is to pray, and that you love to hear our voice. You love when we come to you and you know what we need before we can even ask, because you love us so much and you want to give all that we need and to give us life in abundance. Thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. That Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now I invite you to stand as you're able and join our closing hymn, Amazing Grace, found on page 378 in your hymnal or on the screen. We will be singing verses 1-4. Indeed, God will our shield and portion be as long as life endures. And in his grace, we are invited to make space. We are invited into something new in this season as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of Christ at Easter. I invite you this week to lean in to God's grace in all its various forms and to lean in to the practice of pausing with intention and letting go with intention, inviting God to care for the things that you care about in a very intentional way. He already does, but he wants us to hand those things to him, that weigh our hearts down. You are the beloved of God, and at the very core, that is the message that he has for us, that he loves us and we are invited deeper and deeper into love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.